Time to talk hybrid engines and other alternative vehicle technologies. And a couple of guests for you today who have been on the show in the past, as a matter of fact. John Dolan, hybrid expert at Smart Motors, the Toyota dealership in Madison. John, nice to have you back.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
And with us by phone is Chris Schneider, president of Honda Motor Works of La Crosse. They've sold more pre-owned hybrids than any other dealership in the country. And Chris Schneider, welcome back. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning, Larry.
Appreciate both of you taking time to be along here. Hybrids are a pretty hot ticket, but there's a lot of buzz about the future for lots of different things. We got compressed natural gas, ultra-clean diesels, neighborhood electric vehicles. Chris, lots of things going on.
Absolutely, there is, and it's a very exciting time to be involved in the transportation business.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. How are sales of pre-owned doing very well?
They have been, Larry. It's surprising to me to see a lot of the print media talking about the Toyota Prius and its availability right now. But I think, as John Dolan would certainly support, in February of 2007, Toyota sold twice as many Priuses as they did in February of 2006. That would be newsworthy if it was not a hybrid. It would be newsworthy if there wasn't vehicles that are available for immediate delivery. But overall, I think the industry is extremely healthy, and there's other alternatives that are starting to peak out as well.
Yeah. And John Dolan, what about the availability on hybrids in Toyota?
At the end of last year, Toyota made a great effort to boost production on the Prius in Japan. They moved the manufacturer of the Camry hybrid from Japan to the U.S. It's being built in Kentucky now. That freed up more space. Toyota was really keen on getting Priuses out to all their customers that were on waiting lists at that time before the full tax credit expired.
Mm.
And so now, yeah, we do have Priuses on the ground. And as a matter of fact, a couple weekends ago, I was at the Madison Hybrid Car Owners Club meeting, and everybody was standing up and talking, saying that this is the best time they've ever seen to buy a Prius or a hybrid of any type, really.
A hybrid.
Because of availability.
Well, that's good news, and we're starting to see other manufacturers come out. GM's got a new one that's not out yet, but in the process. It's kind of interesting, I think. It's the Volt.
Yeah, that, from what it seems like at the beginning here, is more of a public relations exercise than a real car, because it won a lot of awards at the Detroit Auto Show when they displayed it, mm-hmm. Best concept design and that, but even GM admitted later that it's dependent on future battery design, which isn't there yet, and they don't know when the lithium-ion batteries that they need to propel that car are going to be on the market.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, because there's a small gasoline engine, I guess, in it, and the only purpose of the small gasoline engine is to charge the battery.
Right.
Which, they were claiming, well, I suppose if you had the right battery, you could do 800 miles on
it. A complete series hybrid.
A complete series, mm-hmm. So that's kind of off in the future yet.
Right.
What about some of the other future vehicles? We're hearing about compressed natural gas or the ultra clean diesel. There's certainly been a lot of interest in diesel. And Chris, any of that?
Certainly. The compressed natural gas vehicles have actually been out for quite some time, Larry, but the reason that we're very enthusiastic about compressed natural gas is that at Honda Motor Works in La Crosse, we just installed a refueling system that's now available to the general public. It's called FIL. And the federal government thinks it's so important for people to consider alternatives like compressed natural gas that they will give a $1,000 tax credit for the purchase of a refueling system, so you can actually refuel in the privacy of your own home if you have natural gas and electricity. They will give you a $4,000 tax credit to invest in a compressed natural gas Civic. So we're very excited to be the first in Wisconsin to offer this alternative to the general public.
Hmm. Interesting. Because I assume that that's the sort of the holdup on something like that is how do you get the gas?
There are 850 refueling stations across the country, which is significantly more than most people think there is. If you either go to the Department of Energy site or even, like I noticed the other day on MapQuest, you can actually find alternative fuel stations on MapQuest these days. So it's becoming a very popular topic, and we're very pleased to be involved and see it moving forward. It helps people get into what we like to think of as the green zone, zone standing for zero oil, no emissions. And like hybrids moving people towards zero oil and no emissions, compressed natural gas vehicles don't get you there entirely. Hybrids, of course, still use oil, but they use less of it, and they're not quite no emissions. They're partial zero emissions, which is the next step closest to it. Compressed natural gas vehicles are the cleanest internal combustion engine ever tested by the EPA. They are partial zero emission vehicles. That is why they qualify for the $4,000 tax credit. And so the compressed natural gas gets us one step closer to being in the zone because it is using zero oil for propulsion purposes.
Interesting. Well, I know Mike in Oshkosh has a question relating to diesels, and so let's take that as sort of a segue here a little bit to diesels, too. And I want to get John's comments, too, on the natural gas. But, Mike, a comment from you. A
couple of comments. I was in Europe a couple times lately, and I'm very impressed about the small, high-efficiency diesel automobiles they have over there, and I just saw something on the, I think they call it the Blue Motion VW Polo. It's supposed to get over 60 miles per gallon, and it's not a hybrid. It's just a much cheaper Volkswagen. When are we going to be able to purchase something like that in the U.S.?
Well, it's a good question, and I'm not sure that John or Chris know for sure. John, any comment from you?
Maybe Chris can shed a little more light on this, but it seems to me that we're waiting on regulations for clean diesels to be shaken down by the federal government.
Yeah.
Well, the new sulfur regulations are taking place, and so clean diesels are on their way. Honda produces what they call an ultra-clean diesel in Europe right now. One section of the catalytic converter creates ammonia from the diesel exhaust, and then the ammonia reacts with nitrous oxides, which ends up releasing harmless nitrogen. And so through a very elegant and simple manner, Honda has engineered a vehicle that will not only get great mileage, as Mike is talking about, that diesels are capable of, but it will also have a tailpipe emissions that are much closer to the tailpipe emissions of gasoline-powered cars. That has been the part of the diesel equation where I have not been able to be on the bandwagon in full motion. Mm-hmm. If you look at a site like greenercars.com, it will show you the scale, and the hybrids are on the top of the scale, and even below the Hummers and the Lamborghinis and the Ferraris are the diesels because of emissions. The new fuel and then these new systems that are coming from Europe are going to give us cleaner tailpipes and better efficiencies. But why not couple diesels with electric motors and have ultra-clean diesel-electric hybrid vehicles that are even more efficient and more environmentally sensitive?
Yeah. John Dolan, a comment.
With Toyota, they've obviously hitched their wagon to the hybrid cart a little bit more. Although they're studying all possibilities, including compressed gas and diesel, electric, hybrids, their future is pretty much dependent on the evolution of hybrid synergy drive. However, that being said, they're also experimenting with diesel hybrids for more powerful, bigger vehicles like our truck lines. Toyota wants to offer hybrid powertrains for every car across the range, and including larger vehicles. And the most promising from a hauling and a torque standpoint is a diesel hybrid for heavier vehicles.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike, for calling. If you'd like to join in, by the way, maybe you've got a question about hybrids or some of the other alternative vehicle technologies, we'd welcome them at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. John, you said Toyota was also working or looking at compressed natural gas as well?
Yeah, pretty much everything is on the table for experiment right now, although we're fully concentrated on hybrid synergy drive. But in some countries, for instance, Toyota's working with Brazil on sugar beet ethanol vehicles. That's about the only country that they're working with ethanol right now with. But that's because of how advanced they are with their sugar beet ethanol program.
Yeah, Brazil is kind of way ahead of the rest of the world, I think, in that technology, if I'm not mistaken.
You're exactly right.
Elaine in River Falls, it's your turn. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. My question is, I had a 84 Honda Accord that I keep mileage records every time I fill, and I was getting 34 to 36 miles a gallon consistently, and that was in 1984. And why can't we get that with some of our gas cars? I'm right now driving a Toyota Corolla that I'm getting 37 miles. It's a manual. Both of these were manuals, 37 miles per gallon. And I'm wondering why we can't get that with some of our cars now, and I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Well, Chris Schneider, I'll turn to you.
Thank you, Elaine, for investing in fuel-efficient vehicles. I wish that there were more people who took that attitude when they were looking to invest. It would have prompted manufacturers to continue the great work that they've done in the past. Certainly, Honda and Toyota remain leaders. Honda has the highest corporate average fuel economy, but it hasn't really improved as dramatically as it could have if there were more people like you, Elaine. I had mentioned that Honda has the ultra-clean diesel in Europe. The Accord is available with it, and it is rated at 44 miles per gallon, not as a hybrid vehicle. So there is good news on the horizon. If you will keep your investment strategy, that is fuel efficiency and environmental sensitivity, as a part of your goal and influence other people to do that, then the manufacturers will respond, and they do want to earn your business. So thank you.
And thanks very much for calling. I know John has some comments on that as well, but we're going to take a quick look at the news. Our guest today, John Dolan, is the hybrid expert at Smart Motors, the Toyota dealership in Madison. Chris Schneider, president of Honda Motor Works of La Crosse. They've sold more pre-owned hybrids than any other dealership in the country. Pleased to have them with us, and certainly stay on. We've got lots of callers online, and stay listening. We'll be back with them right after our look at the news. Hybrid vehicles are on our minds, and it's other alternative vehicle technologies as well, as we visit with our two guests, John Dolan, hybrid expert at Smart Motors, the Toyota dealership in Madison, and Chris Schneider, president of Honda Motor Works of La Crosse. Really happy to have them along. And certainly, if you want to join in, give us a call at 800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And Ben in Oconomowoc's been waiting a long time, so let's see. Let's go to Ben. Hi, Ben. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Larry, and hi to your guests.
Hi.
I was very, very excited to hear this program. About 10 seconds ago, I just got a box from the mailman here, which is a Briggs & Stratton E-Tech electric motor. And what I'm planning on doing is I'm going to be building an electric motorcycle this summer, which very excited about that. I got to go out to the Midwest Renewable Energy Association's Energy Fair last summer, which was just a blast. And they have they had a renewable energy car show out there this summer. So they had Civics, and they had old VW Rabbits that were running on vegetable oil and a lot of different things like that. And there was a guy out there who had an electric bicycle, which was just kind of a kit where you buy an electric motor with a tire attached that you just pop onto your bike. So I did that last summer. I get to zip around at 20 miles an hour without pedaling, have like a 20-mile range on it, great for getting to work in the grocery store and everything. Except now I have an electric need for speed. And Also, going over the bumps is a little bit of a problem because I got my bike frame from the thrift store and it doesn't have any shocks. So going 20 miles an hour, or I've actually gotten it up to 30 downhill, but I've got 45 pounds of batteries on there, and hitting bumps with that isn't fun. So what my plan is to build a street-legal, fully electric commuter vehicle, and it seems like the motorcycle is the right way to go because when people are just out and about, going to work, going to the grocery store, they're just by themselves anyways, and they really don't have to go all that far, and the motorcycle seems like the most reasonable way of doing this, and with being fully electric rather than hybrid or anything else, there's no gas, no oil. Just plug it into recharge, and you're good to go.
And there you go. Well, Chris, comment?
Ben, you bring up so many interesting points there. Thank you for your call. Having just recently been elected to the board of the MREA, I thank you for bringing up the MREA. It is a wonderful event that we people here in Wisconsin are so fortunate to have it in our backyard. There are lots of wonderful people there communicating about energy efficiency and environmental sensitivity. You can visit the website, the-mrea.org, and learn all about the Energy Fair coming up in June. Several years ago, I was on a hybrid tour of Minnesota, and there was a gentleman in Winona who had already built a full electric motorcycle. I don't know if he's listening today, but if he is, hopefully you and he can get together and share stories at the MREA because you have a wonderful idea. What I would propose to you, however, Ben, is that although your idea of full electric is very good, and you're certainly aware of being able to drive by yourself, we have just embarked upon a new idea called neighborhood electric vehicles. And it uses many of the concepts that you're talking about, but it does give you the ability to haul two or four or six people on electricity only, and you have the safety of seat belts and a cage and headlights and turn signals and horn, and they are legislated and they are licensable right here in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
And, Chris, by the way, you're probably have some information on your website about that, or you may.
We do, or you can always visit hope3.org. The manufacturer that we have decided to align with, Larry, is built right here in Wisconsin, which is another really positive thing that we felt, right in Reedsburg, not too far from Madison where you are there.
Yep.
It's called Columbia Parcar, and you can visit the website at parcar.com and learn more about the alternatives that they're offering. It's very exciting to be involved with a company who not only is producing electric vehicles but has been in business for over 50 years, is very diversified in their holdings, and so this is not a company that has just been an upstart and potentially, as this marketplace may change, as John Dolan was mentioning, if Toyota and Hybrid are coming out with plug-in hybrids and other alternatives, it might change the face of the marketplace. But there are also people who are working on full range and full speed, full electric vehicles, and eventually we see neighborhood electric vehicles progressing into that marketplace as well. So congratulations on a wonderful idea, Ben. Good luck with your Briggs and Stratton. I would have recommended a Honda engine for you.
Thanks for calling, Ben. Appreciate it. Dave in Lake Tomahawk, it's your turn. Hi, Dave.
Well, good afternoon, I believe it is.
Yes, it is.
Hey, I had heard from a Toyota dealership here in Rhinelander, might have been a year ago, about a one-ton or a three-quarter-ton or a one-ton a hybrid four-wheel drive truck from Toyota. And that, I mean, I'm a kind of a Jippo logger snowplow guy that can only really afford one vehicle, and I need something like that. And I think, wow, that'd be pretty slick if it didn't cost, arms, legs, and all other parts.
Yeah. Well, John Dolan, what about it?
2 years ago, I believe, Toyota demonstrated a concept vehicle of a Tundra hybrid. at all the auto shows that made the circuit. The main reason for that is to demonstrate to the public that Toyota does plan to offer larger vehicles as hybrids. They want every vehicle in their range to be hybridized, and they want to offer every single car that they put on the road as a hybrid option.
Mm-hmm.
Trucks are a bit down the road in terms of development. Toyota's next focus on a hybrid will be a minivan. The Sienna minivan will get the hybrid treatment here in the next year and a half or so.
Mm-hmm. But the trucks are still down beyond that.
Right.
Down beyond that. Okay.
Well, I'll just start saving my money, I guess.
And also Toyota's effort is to reduce the cost of hybrid technology, too. And every successive new version of hybrid Synergy Drive they come out with is more powerful, longer driving distance on electric only, more powerful batteries, and cost less money.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Dave. Steve in Montreal, Canada. Hi, Steve.
No, not Montreal, Canada. Montreal in beautiful Iron County, Wisconsin.
Oh, that Montreal.
Well, I'm standing out here on the back deck, and there's probably the sunstroke is bothering the telephone. I find the discussion on the hybrid drives extremely interesting. I am retired recently from Allison Transmission, General Motors in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And although I know that GM does produce in some, I think, small quantity, a Chevrolet Silverado hybrid drive in a half-ton model, our specialty at Allison, we provided a hybrid drive for city buses.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's a lot larger vehicle, but the concept is the same. We were working with Cummins for their whatever version of clean diesels that they produced, but we had those buses running around Indianapolis, and they are also in Portland, Oregon, where they've got a lot of grades to contend with, and they like having that high-torque electric power to get them up the hill. So the hybrid drive is really being used on larger vehicles. Granted, the quantity is minimal compared to the Priuses that I see running up and down Michigan Avenue here in Montreal,
mm-hmm.
but they're out there, and they're working, and it's an ongoing process. And with due respect to our friends at Toyota and Honda, they haven't really invented the wheel in that regard, though they certainly have made it roll smoothly.
Now, well, I thank you very much for calling. And John, a comment from you?
Yeah, I'd like to comment because he does open up another area of discussion. Hybrids are not new. Hybrids have been around for over 100 years. In fact, a well-known inventor, engineer, Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, back at the turn of the century, was one of the first people to actually put a hybrid on the road. And after that, there were a number of inventors all around the world, from Belgium to the U.S., who developed cars. And probably the most successful one was the Owen Magnetic in 1920s that was built in the U.S., and that was a true hybrid. In fact, mm-hmm. it was so famous that even a star of its day, the opera singer Enrico Caruso, drove one. So he was like the Carmen Electra of his time. And yeah. He drove a hybrid.
Great story. Chris, comment?
Well, I have to concur as well. Hybrid technology has been out and proving itself for a very long time, but the technology is very different from 100 years ago, and that's
sure.
what's making them so successful today is the nickel-metal hydride batteries, the power control units, the software engineering. And so there is a lot to celebrate, and we've been ignoring the large marketplace. You know, there's been hybrids in those areas for a very long time, but we certainly look forward to having it more widespread, and thank you for the opportunity to talk to the mm-hmm. listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio to talk about those issues.
If I could just add one thing, you know, the direction of the conversation, according to, you know, Chris there, is you can see that hybrid technology is really fairly new in its current stage, just in its early stages, and we have a long way to go. And if you go back to the 1970s, there's another interesting story of a man named Victor Walk, who was the brother of the author Herman Wolk, who wrote The mm-hmm. Winds of War. He was a backyard inventor, and he hybridized a 1974 Buick Skylark back then and took it to the EPA, took it to General Motors, took it to everybody, and they just poo-pooed it as impossible that a backyard inventor like him could not possibly have come up with that. But just think, if that would have been accepted back then in the 70s, how much farther along we'd be now.
Yeah. Could have, should have, would have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mark in Cedarburg. Thanks again, Steve, for calling. Appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. Mark in Cedarburg, your turn. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon. Say, I'd like to ask a simple question regarding dollars and cents.
Sure.
With hybrids. Basically, you know, I'm all for the idea of getting us off of oil and cleaner emissions. But from everything I've read, it's still not a dollars and cents feasible proposition for the average driver, especially if they're going to be going at highway speeds a great deal of time, because I guess the mileage does drop down on that basis. And then there's also the maintenance costs and the premium you pay up front for the vehicle. So could your guests kind of address those concerns of mine?
Sure, and I bet both. Well, John, we'll start with John. I bet both John and Chris want to say something about that. John, we'll start with you.
Right. There was a recent study by the research group IntelliChoice, where they actually looked at all hybrids, and they concluded that all hybrids will save you money over the life of the car. So I think we're dealing with a lot of urban myth as far as the idea that hybrids don't save money is concerned. Don't you agree with that, Chris?
Absolutely. Don't believe everything you read, Mark. I would think that if you do just a very little amount of research on the Internet and go to independent sources like IntelliChoice or like KBB.com or Edmunds.com and look at the value of, say, the oldest Prius, you know, a 2001 Prius, mm-hmm. versus the Corolla that they might be comparing it to, or better yet, perhaps an 03 Civic Hybrid versus an 03 Civic. So a hybridized version versus a non. And look at the difference in resale value. Factor in the tax credit, and there is still a full tax credit available on the Honda products. There's a lot of misinformation that could be read out there in regards to that as well. And when you look at the full picture, and you brought up maintenance, and the maintenance on hybrids is actually less because you're using regenerative braking for most of your braking. Your brake pads go further. All hybrids currently have electric power steering, and so there is no power steering fluid to leak or spill on Mother Earth, and there's no belts, pumps, or pulleys to maintain or replace. So there's actually less maintenance. These systems are designed to live the life of the vehicle and designed to do that maintenance-free when we're talking about the nickel metal hydride batteries and the electric motors. John, have you heard of anyone replacing an electric motor in their hybrid anywhere in the country for any reason?
You know, trauma from an accident is about the only that I've seen, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the only thing. Otherwise, everyone is still out there running.
Incredibly mm-hmm. durable and reliable and maintenance-free.
So there you have it, Mark. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Sandy in Heartland, it's your turn. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm interested in this because I just bought a Highlander Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
We went in and we were there all day negotiating with the guy, and he talked us into the hybrid. My husband was kind of hesitant because he was afraid of the resale if something major goes wrong with these electric engines. But we bought it, and I like the car. But it was $5,000 more than the regular hybrid. And at the end of the sale, they mentioned, they didn't say while we were negotiating, but at the end of the sale, they told us the maintenance, they had us buy this maintenance agreement, and they said it was $200 more a year for maintenance on a hybrid. And they also didn't say anything. They said the gas mileage on the sticker, it said 27 to 31, and that's what they were claiming the whole time we negotiated. But when I went in for the first service, they told me, I said, well, it's not getting the gas mileage. It's only getting about 19. And he said, well, it'll take 5,000 to 10,000 miles to get the gas mileage. And I said, will it ever get up to the sticker, what's on the sticker? And he said, oh, you're never going to get that now with this reformulated gas. So he didn't really say what the gas mileage would be, but I was kind of disappointed in that.
Well, let's hear from John Dolan.
Well, the Highlander hybrid is built to be more of a performance hybrid. It's not like the Prius, which is built for industry average performance, but better than average emissions and fuel economy. The Highlander is built to tow a vehicle. It's capable of towing 3,500 pounds. And so that hybrid version has actually got better performance than the gas-only Highlander. It's 0 to 60 times. It's like a full second faster. I kind of disagree with the idea that the hybrids require more maintenance, though, because the electric motors are sealed units that don't require maintenance. The batteries don't require any maintenance. There are a lot of elements that are taken out of the car, like power steering is non-hydraulic. It's all electric, so there's nothing to maintain there. So I kind of question some of those ideas that they require more maintenance. And
yeah. Chris?
Well, Sandy, on April 2nd here at Honda Motor Works, we'll be conducting our fifth hybrid driving clinic and championship. And we would certainly encourage you to come over and learn how to drive the vehicle more effectively. Hopefully you would not be the first person who has attended one of these who has not exceeded the EPA gas mileage rating. So far our record is unanimous. Everybody's been able to accomplish it. So come over, but be prepared to have your tire pressure inflated a little bit in case you're low on tire pressure. And a broken-in engine, whether it's a hybrid or a non-hybrid, does produce better fuel efficiency results. So try to get a few miles on your vehicle before you come and visit us.
All right.
On the other side, I'd like to mention that I do have a lot of my customers that do get even the EPA stated fuel economy on their Priuses and even Highlanders. These are people that are, they've trained themselves in the pulse and glide technique. They're very adamant about driving their car in a way that guarantees they'll get this mileage. In fact, one of my customers recently drove her Prius to New Jersey and back, and she averaged 51 miles per gallon on the highway. And she's a total devotee to pulse and glide technique.
Okay. So there may be a little more education involved in and how you actually drive one of these vehicles. You don't drive it necessarily like you just drive a normal gasoline vehicle.
Right. If you brake heavily and you accelerate heavily, you probably won't get close to the sticker mileage.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy, for calling. Lauren and Phillips, your turn. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I'm a mail delivery person, rural carrier. And it seems to me that this constant stopping and going would be a good thing to use a hybrid car for. Now, the problem is that we look for cars that don't have a console in them so we can drive them from either side.
Yeah.
So I think it would be good if we could get a hybrid vehicle that was attractive to mail carriers. I've been told that we are the largest privately owned fleet in the nation. A lot of gas could be saved.
Yeah. John, comment?
Yeah, in fact, we have a customer that is a mail carrier out in the Spring Green area, and he bought a Prius and he removed the console in the middle so that he could switch from side to side. And he sent us a card recently showing him delivering his mail in the Prius, and he said it works great.
Oh, so you can move that console?
Yeah, he just took it out.
Okay.
Lauren, where do you deliver your mail?
Out of Phillips.
Are you in the rural area?
Yeah.
Okay. A neighborhood electric vehicle would not solve the problem for you. But at some point in the future, a full electric vehicle will be able to do exactly what you're looking to do, and you'll be able to be completely in the zone, zero oil and no emissions. So look forward to the near future when that's going to be available to you.
Mm-hmm. Go for 140 miles on one
trip.
Yeah.
That's going to be available as well. The technology is being worked on. It's not here today. It won't be here tomorrow, but are you ready to trade today, Lauren?
Probably not. John, you were going to comment, too. Yeah,
I just wanted to make one comment along the lines of the neighborhood electric vehicle, and we all think that's a great idea. The Prius in Europe has a button called the EV mode button, which allows the driver to select the times when they would prefer the car to operate without the engine running. So they can drive out of their garage, drive through their neighborhood, and drive at night, if they like, without awakening others. Basically, I saw the new design for the redesigned Highlander hybrid at the Chicago Auto Show, and that hybrid will have an EV button on it. And Toyota is heading in that direction. So you could use your hybrid as a neighborhood electric vehicle if you like.
Very cool, very cool. And I tell you what, again, Chris, what's your website?
You can visit us at hybridcarstore.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're a hybrid owner, you can visit us at hope3.org and see our calendar of events.
And John, you have a website as well.
It's smartmotors.com.
Smartmotors.com.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Go there. John, Chris, thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. John Dolan is hybrid expert at Smart Motors, the Toyota dealership in Madison. Chris Schneider is president of Honda Motor Works of La Crosse. And always fun to have them along to talk hybrids. And I expect we'll have them back, and we will probably do that again. You know, I was looking at my lawn the last few days, and I got a little snow mold that occurred on my lawn, and I'm going to ask John Steyer about that tomorrow. He's our guest on Garden Talk. We'll talk lawn and turf care with John Steyer, UW-Madison, an extension lawn and turf expert. And thank you all for listening, and please stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.